Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
That is why I'm also calling upon members of Congress here tonight to pass legislation finally banning the late-term abortion of babies.
The sexual revolution's been irrational from the beginning, and the evidence against it is piling up. And so there's more and more stuff that they have to just obliterate or wipe out or cover up.
God is speaking to every one of us, but he's not speaking to you in your heart. He's not speaking to you in the winds or the rocks or the trees or through somebody who claims to be a prophet. He's speaking to you in the Word of God.
Do this means do this. It's not that tough. Here's some bread. Eat it. It's me. Here's some wine. Eat it. It's me.
Students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, love listening to Issues Etc. and doing our catechism recitations on our drives to and from our fieldwork congregations every week.
So by my count, and I have not looked everywhere, the Washington Post, The Hill, The Washington Examiner all have had stories on religious issues, on pro-life Democrats and religion as it relates there in the Democratic presidential race. And now not only Pete Buttigieg is part of the story, he was already part of the story when it was just about pro-life Democrats. Amy Klobuchar is part of the story too. So there are two candidates that are at least at this point trying to distinguish themselves from the herd by talking religion, at least as it relates to the issue of abortion. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of the God Gap and the Democratic presidential race with Terry Mattingly, founder and editor of Get Religion. A little later, Anna Mussman joins us. We'll talk children, Valentine's Day, and something not usually popularly associated with Valentine's Day, but certainly associated with St. Valentine, suffering and martyrdom. Dr. Michael New, columnist for National Review Online, will be our guest to talk about a decade of pro-life wins. We'll do listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, then Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, will be with us to talk about recent articles in medical journals on gender affirmation and organ harvesting, and particularly organ harvesting from people who aren't already dead. We'll see what he's talking about there in the last few minutes of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about media coverage of the God Gap and the Democratic presidential race, Terry Mattingly. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
So there are stories in The Hill, The Washington Examiner, and by golly, The Washington Post about this issue. Are you surprised, and what do you think has brought this on?
Well, I think the most important of those was the Washington Post article. And what's really interesting about it is it actually isn't about the religion issue yet. By that I mean the information is there, it's briefly mentioned, but they haven't singled this out yet. Now, as always in our the world of horse race political coverage, you come out of a night like New Hampshire and it's who won, who lost. And of course, the big thing here is the astonishingly low performance by Biden and Warren. Now, since Biden was supposed to be the automatic choice of sane Democrats and sane Americans, you can officially say that to some degree we have veered toward insanity from the viewpoint of some worried political reporters and political activists. Because at the moment, if you look at the top triad coming out of New Hampshire, and you assume that at best Biden has like one more showing where he's got to really nail it. And nail it for him means huge turnout of older voters and African-American voters. At the moment, everyone's looking at Bernie Sanders, Pete Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar. So all of a sudden, if you look at this from a religious point of view, it's a very interesting triad of candidates in terms of religion and in terms of what they've been willing to do. And all three of these candidates have made very strong statements specifically related to Democrats and pro-life issues. And just as a reminder to listeners, we had that very strong statement from Bernie Sanders in which he basically said to be a Democrat means to be pro-abortion rights. It's a part of the identity of the party, period. He left almost no gap at all, you know, on that issue. Meanwhile, then you have Mayor Pete Buttigieg. Now, for him, it's a situation of style versus content. While Bernie is your classic kind of 60s secularism, although he's talked about his Jewish heritage recently, I mean, let's face it, he is very strong with secular voters. And in the Washington Post breakdown of people coming out of polling places in New Hampshire, he was extremely strong with people who were secular, and he was weak with people who attend worship services weekly. Now, like I said, with Mayor Pete, we're looking at style versus content. On the abortion issue, he was, of course, in another one of these crucial sound bites that end up on YouTube and everywhere else, he was confronted by the leader of Democrats for Life, Kristen Day, and he basically declined to back off. Now, he on anything related to abortion, which means from a content perspective, there's not much distance between him and Bernie Sanders. But he has made his religious faith as a believing liberal Christian gay Episcopalian, he has made that a huge part of his appeal, and especially his appeal, the kind of evangelical elites and some of your more liberal Christian elites. A lot of people have assumed that he's been doing this, A, because he really believes it, and B, because he knows eventually he's going to have to end up in the pulpits of African-American churches in South Carolina and in other Bible Belt primaries, and he's going to have to connect. Otherwise, at best, he's the vice presidential candidate to, I don't know, Joe Biden or someone who can connect with the Democratic base otherwise. So liberal Christian, strong on abortion rights, but smiling. Does that make sense? Then the other day, things shifted with this amazing statement on The View by Amy Klobuchar, in which she basically, and no one's put it this way, so this is how I'm thinking of it, she basically went with the Obama 1.0 formula, other than the fact that she's female instead of African American. She said we need to work together to prevent abortion. Now, I don't believe that she's used the formula yet that includes that, you know, safe, legal, and rare. But she said we can work together to decrease abortions and to encourage adoption. She's an enthusiastic liberal Christian in the same mainline Protestant denomination as Obama. And she's smiling at Christians. Now, whether or not there's a lot of other content there that she's willing to talk about, that's what we'll have to see. But does that breakdown of the big three coming out of New Hampshire kind of ring what you're seeing?
Yeah.
Ring true with what you're seeing?
And I mean, your observation that she won big in New Hampshire with people, Democrats, who actually attend church seems to dovetail nicely.
Yeah. The Washington Post number is 28%. above normal. I mean, that's the attend religious services weekly. That was one of her two strongest appeal points based on the exit polls. It's also very interesting that she did poorly with decided before the last few days, which means, at least implies to me, that she did well with those who decided late. And everyone's talking about how this was a very surprising performance for her. But what's the only thing that's changed with her in the last 48 hours before those polls? And that were these statements where she seemed to imply, we need a big tent party. There's a great quote from her, which I believe is in a Catholic news agency story. And once again, when the Catholic news agency, a conservative agency, starts covering you, you have the attention of some of the actual swing voters at play in American politics, which would be ordinary, normal Sunday morning or middle of the road Catholics. In her appearance on The View, she said, "I believe we're a big tent party and there are pro-life Democrats and they are part of our party. And I think we need to build a big tent. I think we need to bring people in instead of shutting them out." Now, if I hadn't told you who said that, doesn't that sound like Obama from the first race?
Oh, absolutely. It could have been written by his speechwriters.
Or even more appropriately, it could have been written by her speechwriters after studying Obama's language or some of the language of the Obama team for religious outreach, which did a bang-up job in his first campaign and peeled off quite a few left-of-center evangelicals. I'm trying to remember what the percentage was, but I remember it being in the 20s or low 30s. Yet someone went to school on that. Either that or that's who she is. That's her personality, and she finally realized somebody should have the courage to say it after she saw the reaction to the Bernie Sanders quote and to that, in many ways, horrific encounter between Buttigieg and Kristen Day of Democrats for Life.
Here's what is kind of surprising to me, and again, I'm kind of cynical here, but for the press, the media, to acknowledge that pro-life Democrats even exist, to me, is a major shattering of the narrative. I mean, Kristen Day did the yeoman's work there by standing up with all the cameras on her and saying, mm-hmm. We're out here and we are in the millions. And then it was up to the press to check that out.
Well, that is up to the press, and maybe some will be nervous about that. But at the same time, you can make the logic, if that's how you beat Trump, then everybody in the pool. In other words, if the goal here is try to regain some of the middle that voted for Trump with their fingers crossed and an air sickness bag nearby, you know, in the last election, if someone can convince more people in the middle of the American political spectrum that they have some choice other than voting for Donald Trump, if they would like to see some form of compromise on these hot button issues, which I was thinking about this and kind of sketching out some notes, which means we can watch to see what happens now on a couple of obviously Trump is going to keep pushing the late-term abortion, but with really, really good cause, both among Democrats and among Americans in general. You have a vast majority of Americans who are not comfortable at all, or they outright oppose abortion after viability. Now, some other issues that could follow up on that. If you saw the Republicans in the Senate come up with another attempt at a gender selection abortion bill, or maybe they combined a late term and deliberate gender selection abortion bill And then another issue that the American public feels strongly about, and of course we've seen this in Europe like crazy, in effect, is Down syndrome. In other words, how comfortable are Americans with genetic testing leading specifically to the abortion of female unborn children and Down syndrome unborn children? That's a cluster of very symbolic issues there. And if you saw a Democrat break away on any of those issues, that's when I think you would see the true Democratic left and to some degree the press begin to kind of freak out. Friendly is nice. Big tent is nice. Gosh, can't we work together is nice. Maybe even pro-life Democrats are a part of us, even if they're delusional. When you actually begin to get policy change shifts is when I think you'll see the press coverage get more critical and more in-depth.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of the God Gap in the Democratic presidential race. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Things when I hear on the radio tonight about Obama being a Christian but not being good because of his pro-choice and homosexuality stances.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Yet I see no evidence of any literature that in the Bible that you stated that says that these things are against biblical teachings.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly about media coverage of the God Gap in the Democratic presidential race. He is senior fellow at the Overbee Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. So, Terry, talk a little bit about the Pew Gap in key 2020 states.
Let's go back and focus again on the states that actually cost Hillary Clinton the election. Now, you have the mysteries of Florida, and our listeners probably remember that I've always been intrigued by the fact that Trump did better with Latinos in Florida than anyone expected. And I've seen several people, including the evangelical historian Thomas Kidd and several others, say that one of the last X factors in American politics in certain states, Florida would be at the top of the list, would be Latino evangelicals. So you mix Latino evangelicals in with extremely active church-going Catholic Latinos, and that's a factor that could be huge in Florida. But to me, the big thing, once again, is the Midwest. And we're back to the fact that when Americans talk about swing voters, for several decades now, I have heard people who study polls closely, and the two that I respect and who have influenced me the most would be the late George Gallup, and then also John C. Green of the University of Akron, who I've quoted many, many times here on this broadcast. And it's Green who, when elections get tight, has this saying that I think is so clever. He says, well, what we got here is another one of those elections that's going to come down to Catholics in Ohio who go to Mass once a week versus Catholics in Ohio who go to Mass once a month. In other words, where will the normal and the slightly less active than normal Catholics go? And when you want to court those people, Trump did it in the Rust States before. He courted them primarily with anger and achieved major breakthroughs with older voters, unemployed, blue-collar, labor, etc. What Obama did to go after those voters was he went after them with language, hope, and excitement. He went after them with positivity. Now, when you look at the Democratic lineup right now, who is really good at exciting people with a message that is positive? Well, Bernie, as has been observed many times, Bernie in many ways is the liberal Trump. He's the person that kind of makes his own party turn into a pillar of salt or you know, get sweaty palms. And you can kind of tell at this point that the Democratic establishment, including lots of folks in the press, are still very uncomfortable with the idea, are we really going to run who put it this way the other day? Was it Peggy Noonan? Are we really going to run an elderly socialist who just had a heart attack from a state with two electoral votes? Are we really going to run him against Trump? And can you imagine the fun Trump's people will have with all those videos from Bernie's travels to the Soviet Union and sitting around with his drinking buddies at the Kremlin singing songs on his birthday and all that? I mean, that's going to be wild. So who fires Democrats up? Who has any Obama magic? Well, I think you would have to say that Mayor Pete Buttigieg, at this point, with his ability to fire up the kind of sexual revolution, young person's idealistic base, and his talent, his ability to think on his feet and say things that are logical, even if there's not a tremendous amount of specifics in what he's saying. There wasn't a lot of specifics in what Barack Obama was saying in his first campaign. You'd have to say that Buttigieg is one of the people that has Obama potential. Now, does Amy Klobuchar have that kind of talent? And I think that's one of the things we're going to see the press ask in the next couple of weeks. Who is she? How talented is she? And the other thing that I think you'll start watching for now, especially if Biden continues to spiral down out of control, I think everyone then is going to start looking for the first tip of the Obama hat in some direction. It may just be a tip of the hat away from Bernie. It might be some sort of statement that says, well, we really do need our big tent back, and I'm not sure America's ready for a pure socialist vision. It might be something like that. That would be very explicit. But I really think at this point, the key Democrat in America right now that we're all going to have to watch, especially on momentum and on this religious, positive, I can make you think I'm a centrist formula. I think right now everybody's got to start watching Barack Obama.
The head writer for SNL, Colin Jost, he did a bit this last Saturday night where he was playing Pete Buttigieg. It was in their cold open.
Yeah.
And he actually, the joke that got the laugh was Buttigieg saying, "I know I sound like a bot that's been forced to watch thousands of hours of Barack Obama speeches." Because even people in New York City are getting the fact that he is riffing Barack Obama.
Yeah. And to what degree? But as I said before, though, Amy Klobuchar is actually closer to the Obama formula. And then, once again, looming out there is who is going to draw a huge turnout from African-American voters in some of these key states. In other words, if Hillary lost states in the Midwest because she turned out fewer Democrats than Barack Obama, she actually, I mean, there's no question, that's what prevented her from being president. She failed to enthuse and draw Democrats to the polls. So at this point, yeah, watch for the tip of the hat from Obama, but also start thinking, who can stand in the pulpit of an African-American church across the Bible Belt and in key sections of the Midwest, can stand there in that pulpit and say, you know, we may not agree with each other on everything, but I'm with you and I love you and we need each other. Who can say that and make it sound true?
You mentioned earlier that you think key people in the media are nervous or at least feel awkward about Bernie Sanders. First of all, why is that? Is it a vested interest in who wins, or are they dreading that moment when he attempts to stand in an African-American pulpit and pull it off?
Well, he's a very talented speaker. I mean, and if you doubt that, go back and look at his appearance at Liberty University a couple of years ago, where he handled himself really well. I mean, he's a man who's, A, very comfortable in his own skin with what he believes. And he's very comfortable saying, I disagree with you on that, but that doesn't mean we're not both Americans. And he's comfortable with division even. But I'm just saying that people are uncomfortable with him because that's what I see on Twitter. And I know Twitter is not reality, but it is certainly Democratic Party hive mind reality on a lot of things. And there's just a lot of worry out there that's basically saying, can this man beat Trump? Well, I haven't said the other word here, which is Bloomberg. In other words, if we ended up with a Democratic ticket of Mayor Bloomberg and Amy Klobuchar, who's the enthusiastic, get out the vote, African American, center of the party, heartland America, let's fight it out in the trenches in a couple of swing states. Who's the person there that's going to play that role? Which means we're back to watching Amy Klobuchar in the next couple of weeks.
In your opinion, where does the media go from here in covering religious Democrats? Is this a flash in the pan, or are they going to stay on it?
No. It's at some point they're going to wake up and realize this tremendous irony. Well, let me pause for a moment. They know the black vote is out there, and they know that the black church vote is out there. They will cover that. Now, the degree to which they realize that some of those same issues on which appeals to African-American churchgoers rest, they're going to know that to some degree the problem with Buttigieg is the gay issue. And they know that he stands up there with his husband, if he does that, it would be very courageous if he did, and says, you may not like my husband, you may not like we're married, but we're Democrats and we need to fight Trump together. That would be very courageous, but he can't get his African-American support out of low to middle single digits. And so I'm saying black vote, period, will bring up religion. Buttigieg and the African-American vote will bring up the issue. And right now we see the first hint that Amy Klobuchar, willing to play the Obama big tent, we're in this together, we've got to embrace people inwards instead of pushing them out, take that Bernie. That's a third story, and we'll see if they're going to hang on that. I know one thing, Democrats for Life is working really, really hard. And right now they have a window of media attention, and that organization is working very hard to make sure that that issue doesn't vanish.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He is founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
On the other side of the break, Anna Mussman joins us. We'll talk children, Valentine's Day, and suffering and martyrdom. After that, Dr. Michael New will be with us to discuss a decade of pro-life successes. We'll do listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, and then we'll talk about two articles in medical journals with Wesley Smith, one on gender affirmation, the other on organ harvesting.
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Wheaton inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian hymns. Making the Case is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th. At Concordia University Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, teaches St. Paul. But what about those who cannot hear? Can they be saved? The February issue of the Lutheran Witness illuminates this topic and others, including hearing the gospel while singing the faith, how to listen to sermons, and proclaiming the gospel in foreign lands. Come, learn how the church confesses the word in words. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Imagine this. What if you planned your vacation? You picked the location based upon where you knew there was a good Lutheran church. Well, we're here to let you know that if you're planning a Southern Oregon vacation, whether you visit Crater Lake, raft the Rogue, fish for salmon, or head down to the Redwoods, there's still a place for you to receive forgiveness. Faith Lutheran Church in Rogue River, Oregon. What's a vacation without the gospel? Faith Lutheran Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. Visit faithrogueriver.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Spokane, Washington. Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Everett, Washington. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Brookings, South Dakota. Parkland Evangelical Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Redeemer Lutheran, Scottsdale, Arizona. St. John Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota. St. Paul Lutheran, New Haven, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Springfield, Illinois. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.